The following message was given by Brother Ricky Acosta in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, July 24, 2016. The title of the message is The Training Review. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 33, verses 11, 13, 14, and 15, chapter 19, verse 6, chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, chapter 35, verses 5, 21, 30 through 35, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and 9.
Praise you for your precious blood. Amen. The blood that is not only for cleansing, but for entering. Amen. And we thank you for the riven veil. Amen. We have all passed the riven veil. Amen. We can meet with you, and you can meet with us. Amen. In the Holy of Holies. Amen. We do pray for this reality this morning. Oh, you have the ground to meet with us. You're here with us today. Speak to us. Speak to your church to take your church further, that we might be one with you for your interests on the earth. We give ourselves to you afresh. We love you. Amen. Amen. Well, saints, the book of Exodus, I think we have heard this many times in the past few months, is a full picture of God's complete salvation. And the goal of which is that God would have a dwelling place on the earth within and among man. And as such, it is a synopsis of the entire scriptures. Because this is God's intention, and the Bible at its conclusion is just the same as the conclusion of Exodus. That is, God dwells with man. And this is his goal. This is his desire. And it says in Romans 15:4, it says, "For the things that were written previously were written for our instruction, in order that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." Amen. Amen. I hope this morning we would all be full of hope. Also in 1 Corinthians 10, we've repeated this verse quite a bit over the past months as we were going through the parts of the tabernacle. It was also repeated in this last training. There, Paul points out that everything that happened to the children of Israel, everything that happened actually is for an example for us. They were written to be an example and even an admonition. You know, an admonition is something stronger than an example. So we have the things in the Old Testament, and I would say especially the things in the book of Exodus that occurred there, but they really are for us. They really are for our learning and for our experience, so that God may have the reality of his purpose. And, you know, when we had four trainings as a study on the book of Exodus. And so this last training that we had in Anaheim and that many of the saints here passed through the video, this was the last section of Exodus and covered many chapters and many points. And I would tell you from the beginning, it is not my intention to actually review these points or the messages as such. What I really want to fellowship with you is the biggest takeaway that I have from this section in Exodus. That is the last section of Exodus. You know, when you have such a study, such a comprehensive study, there are many points, and you can't help but be touched by many things here and there. And they're all precious. And they're all precious. And I hope in the time of prophesying, many of the saints would have the freedom to fellowship what you received and enjoyed and even what you saw. But I would say, through the course of the study, there are certain things that impressions that seem to have come over and over again as we went through these chapters. And the main thing is, to me, regarding the persons whom the Lord is looking for, that would join with him to carry out his intention on this earth. The person. You know, we spent many months in these last few months looking at the tabernacle itself, looking at the furniture, looking at all the types and how they are experiences of Christ, and also they show us how we can experience Christ. But in these few chapters, I would say the biggest impression for me is this. The kind of person. The Lord is looking for a certain kind of person to serve in his house. In his house. You know, throughout the scriptures, we can see here and there the Lord searching for people. The Lord searching for people. In Isaiah, he makes a call, right? Who will go for us? Right. Whom shall we send? And Isaiah, you know, responds, here I am. And also in Isaiah, at the end of Isaiah, the Lord makes this declaration that the heavens are, right, my throne, the earth is the footstool for my feet. But where's the house? Where's the house? And then he says what? Where's the house that you built? That you built. Then it says he's looking to a certain kind of man to build that house. And then in John, when the Lord Jesus came, he was speaking to the Samaritan woman. He makes this phrase, the Father is seeking such to worship him. So he's looking for a certain kind of person or certain kind of persons that have certain qualities or qualifications to join him for his great enterprise, his great interest on the earth. And we know that that great interest is his house. It is his house. You know, even in Exodus 15, when they cross through the Red Sea in Exodus 14, then Moses sings a song. Leads a song. And also Miriam leads the singing of a song. Do you know in that chapter, even there, it comes out that the Lord's intention is a habitation. A habitation. God has this desire to have a habitation on the earth. But he doesn't call it into being like he did in the first creation. For his house, he looks for man to give him the best cooperation. And certain ones don't. So he just goes to others. He just goes to others. He's seeking some. He's seeking some. And in these chapters, I would like to bring out three groups of people, or three types of people. That is, companions, priests, and fellow workers. So I'd like to say something about each of these three. Companions, priests, and fellow workers. Of course, when we talk about companions, we're referring to Exodus 33. I wonder if we go to those verses. Exodus 33. There, the word tells us that, do you have it there? One up, go down a little bit. Right there, 11. Jehovah would speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his companion. And you know, a companion is a little different than a friend. We know that Abraham is called the friend of God, right? At least three times in the scriptures, the friend of God. You know, Moses was not just a friend, but a companion. And a companion is an associate. You could even use this phrase, a partner in an enterprise. And Moses was such a person. Moses was such a person that God considered him as his companion. What a privilege. But how can you be such a person? That's good for Moses. We would say, oh, that's great, Moses. Moses was God's companion. That's great. You know, God would speak with Moses face to face. Face to face. And if you read these chapters, 33, 34, it's very interesting. What intimacy there is in this kind of talking back and forth. You know, in verse 13, it says, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, listen to this phrase. Please let me know your ways that I may know you. How about we pray that together from please, huh? Please let me know your ways that I may know you. Oh, have you prayed such an intimate prayer to the Lord? Have you prayed such a prayer? Lord, I really want to know you. I really want to know you, and I want to know your ways. I don't want you just to meet my need. Just, you know, as the Lord's children, it is possible that we could go to the Lord and have that kind of relationship with the Lord for meeting our need. But that is not a companion. That is not a companion to the Lord. The Lord needs some who would share his interests on the earth and would join with him to carry out his enterprise on the earth. And that requires some to say, Lord, I really want to know you. And I want to know your heart. And I want to know your ways. You know, in Psalm 103, it echoes this. And it tells us that the Lord made known his acts to the children of Israel. But he made known his ways to Moses. You know, the children of Israel saw a lot of the Lord's acts. Actually, miracles. Actually, every day. Every day in the journey in the wilderness. But sometimes they saw great miracles. They didn't consider, you know, when you see a miracle every day, you don't consider it that great. But they saw some really great miracles. But you know what? We know that first generation that saw all those miracles, how many made it all the way into the good land? To only two. Two of maybe millions. It's not enough to know the Lord that way, to know the Lord in an outward way. We need to know him, and we need to know his ways. So, but you might say, well, that was Moses. Moses had such a, you know, relationship with the Lord, and Moses is a great person in the whole scriptures. We even see him in the New Testament, and he has a special place and so on. But you know, Paul, in his writing in 2 Corinthians, he takes this portion in Exodus 33 and 4, and he applies it to us. You know, and here, when God speaks with him face to face, in the following verses, we didn't list them, have the time to read them, Moses even asks this. He asks another thing. He says, please show me your glory. Can you imagine asking the Lord so boldly? You know, the Lord's answer is, oh, sorry, Moses. No one can see my face and live. But they had such a relationship that God said, I'm paraphrasing. He said, tell you what I'm going to do, though. And it's like he made a little special provision. He says, I'm going to put you in there's a cleft of the rock there. You go there, and I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to cover you. Oh, I don't know what that was like. We can only imagine what that was like. Then he passed by, and he let him see his back. Oh, what is this? But then, in the next chapter, it talks about how he had this direct contact, face to face, and out of this contact, his face began to shine. And so when he came down the mountain, the children of Israel were stunned that his face was shining. Oh, and you might say, well, that's too special. That's too special. But do you know that Paul in 2 Corinthians says, we all with unveiled face beholding and reflecting the glory, right? The image of the Lord, are being transformed from glory to glory. He tells us there in 2 Corinthians 3 that that was one thing. He talks about Moses and the veil, and then he applies it to our situation. Saints, we can be such companions to the Lord. And the Lord needs such companions for the carrying out of His intention in this age. He needs some who would just firstly behold Him as Moses. Some who are there, Lord, I'm not here for my own interest. I'm not praying for things. Actually, I'm not even praying for supply to make it through this day. I'm just here before You. I'm here before You, open for Your interests. I'm here before You, open for Your purpose. And we know that that purpose is the building of the church. So Lord, I'm here. Show me the pattern. Show me the building of the church. Show me my part in the building of the church. You know, in this interaction between God and Moses, God imparted to him the pattern. The pattern of the tabernacle and all the details of the priesthood. God found someone who would be willing to listen. God found someone who would be willing to take up His interests on the earth. There'd never been before anyone like Moses. But we shouldn't think, oh, that's something too special. Paul brings it to our experience and says that whenever the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But we all with unveiled face. And then he goes on in chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians to say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? What is this treasure? We might say generally, well, of course, this treasure is Christ. But that's 2 Corinthians 4, 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. If you go to verse 6, you can see the link when it says we have this treasure. Actually, the treasure is in verse 6. The treasure is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, today, as a believer, in our spirit, we have the face of Jesus Christ. We have His loving presence. We have His loving presence. So we need to daily turn our heart. Just simply turn our heart and linger before Him. Linger before Him. I think many times we may miss the opportunities for the Lord's impressing us with His intention because we pray for our things very quickly. We need to linger and we need to pray for the Lord's interests on the earth. As we do, we will enjoy the shining of His face. So, the Lord needs such companions. Moses was such a companion. But I hope we don't think that is something exclusive. Now, the second group is the priests. And, you know, it's very interesting. I think many of us were impressed as we studied this these last few weeks that as the Lord reveals the matter of the tabernacle to Moses and to His people, embedded in the revelation of the tabernacle is the revelation concerning the details of the priesthood. But it begins with much detail about the house, about the tabernacle. Then at a certain point in chapter 27, there's a turn. And the Lord begins to talk about the function of the priests. Actually, it's quite sudden. He starts to talk about the lighting of the lamps. I hope to come back to this in a few moments. And then about the garments, a whole chapter, 28, about the garments. And then a whole chapter about how to sanctify the priests. Then the dialogue turns back to the house. Why? You know, every word in the Bible has some significance. And even the order of things has certain significance. You know, if we need to slow down sometimes and consider and ask the right questions. Why? Why is this here? Well, this shows us that there is a kind of relationship, an intertwining between the house and the priesthood. Actually, we cannot have the priesthood without the house, without the building. And we cannot have the building without the priesthood, without the serving. You know, this is brought together by Peter. And those were the last verses that we read. Could we see those verses, please? 1 Peter 2, 5 and 9. Here you see very clearly, Peter joins these two matters. You yourselves as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. So this is in the same order as in Exodus. A house into a priesthood. Into a priesthood. Then in verse 9, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So Peter brings out this matter of the house with the priesthood. The building with the priesthood. And we saw many, many precious points concerning this. I hope the saints would bring out some of them. I just want to point this out. Saints, in order to really serve the Lord, we must be built up. We must be in the building. And actually, the way to serve the Lord is not so much in the doing of many outward things. The way to serve the Lord is actually first to be built into God's house, and then to help build others into God's house. That's really our service. We need to be the building material. And we need to be built in. And then we need to help others to be built in. And how do we do this? Actually, we do this by the carrying out of the holy and royal priesthood. The holy and royal priesthood. What is the distinction? You know, the function of the priests was to bring man to God, and then to bring God to man. And the holy priesthood is that aspect of the priesthood in which man is brought to God. Man is brought to God. Actually, the first man we need to bring to God is me. Is ourselves. Every day, we need to come to the Lord. We need to come to the Lord and let Him infuse Himself into us. Then, with that infusion, we turn around and we go to man. We bring God to man. And actually, also in 2 Corinthians, Paul in chapter 5 brings up this matter of the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. What is this ministry of reconciliation? This is to bring man not only to God, but all the way into God. Amen. Saints, these days there are many things happening among us in New York City and in the surrounding areas. And the Lord is spreading, and we're looking forward to the commencement of new district meetings, right, in the Bronx, a second meeting in Brooklyn, a meeting up in upstate in the Mid-Hudson Valley. What are we actually doing? Actually, what we're doing is bringing man to God and God to man. Our going to these places, if we are not in the holy and royal priesthood, then what is that's empty? It's just empty. We're not just going to start new meetings. We want to bring God to people. And we want to go there to reconcile people to God. Firstly, we want to bring them to God, and then we want to bring them into God. And you know, in 2 Corinthians, you do have this kind of sense that there are two stages of reconciliation. And this very much matches the structure of God's house, of the tabernacle. You know, in the tabernacle, that is the holy place and the holy of holies, there are, of course, for each area, there's an entrance. There's an entrance. And the entrance to the holy place, the entrance to the holy place was called the screen. And this screen was held up by five pillars. And then there was something over it. And so that means there were pillars with screen, and then there was an opening for you to come through. If the pillars are not there, then there's nothing to hold up the screen. Then, to get into the Holy of Holies, there are four pillars holding up the veil. Holding up the veil. And again, these four pillars would form what? Openings. And you can go through into the Holy of Holies. And we saw that actually, we need to be such pillars. Amen. We need to be such pillars. Actually, a function of the priesthood is to be such pillars. That is, you bring people, firstly, to God. You bring people to God. Then you bring them deeper into God. You know, of course, it says in 2 Corinthians that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's like the first stage. God, we're brought to God. But Paul, in 2 Corinthians, was doing a work of trying to reconcile God's people back to God. And this is our situation. On one hand, we need to preach the gospel. We need to have the function of evangelists, to bring people, bring the world to God. On the other hand, we have to admit, all the distance between God and me has not been eliminated. Many times in our lives we find that, or maybe in areas of our life, there's some distance between us and God. You know, what is the ministry of reconciliation? It is to eliminate the distance between God and man. It's to bring man back to God, to bring man all the way into God, that there would be no distance. And that is a function of the priests, to go out to man, bring man to God, right? So saints, we need such exercise every day in the holy and royal priesthood. That's the way that we can function as the pillars, as the evangelists to bring people to God, as the shepherds and teachers to bring people all the way into God. You know, another function of the priests is a specific function. Actually, the first function mentioned in Exodus is the lighting of the lamps. The lighting of the lamps. And we saw that this function is carried out very much in the church meetings. In the church meetings. Saints, we do need to function in our daily living to bring man to God. But we also all need to pick up our function, priestly function, in the church meetings. Amen. What is this function? We should let light shine. We should let the light shine. In every meeting, there should be some shining. There should be some shining. But saints, in order for this to occur, we need to get the light. We need to be people in the light. And this comes back to coming to the Lord personally. If we don't have the experience of the light in our daily living, through the contact with the Lord, through the beaming of His glory, of His face into us, how can we have anything for the meetings? Saints, the church meetings are precious. The church meetings are precious. But for the church meetings to be rich requires a little preparation. requires something from us. You know, I'd like to read something in Psalm 73. It may have been in our morning watch sheet this week. You know, in Psalm 73, you have the, yes, this is verses 16 and 17. You have the experience of the psalmist who is having some confusion, who has some discontent even, it seems, with the Lord. Why are the unrighteous prospering? And so there's a kind of struggle going on. And this reads in verses 16 and 17. When I considered this in order to understand it, it was a troublesome task in my sight. It was troublesome. It was troublesome. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. You know, I believe that many of us, at one time or another, through whatever we were experiencing in our week, there may have been some disheartening coming into our heart. There may have been some discouragement. And I believe in nearly every meeting, maybe someone is going through something, through some kind of struggle. Never forsake the assembly. When you come to the church meeting, you could be enlightened. You could be enlightened. You never told anyone your struggle. Yet, in that meeting, you could get light. There could be something going on, a little confusion, a little discouragement. You even thought about giving up the church life. But Until I came to the sanctuary of God. There, everything is clear. But why? Why? Because there's light. Because someone was faithful to function as a priest, to light the lamps. Dear saints, all our speaking should light the lamps. All our speaking shouldn't be just saying something in the meeting to fill the time. All our speaking should light the lamps, should be a giving off of light. May the Lord bring this reality. Amen. Okay, that's the priests. So we have the companions and the priests. Finally, I want to talk about the workers. The workers. And this is in Exodus 31. In Exodus 31. And we're not so familiar even with this section, and we're not familiar with these names. I notice when we read them, not only here but also in the training, we have these two men, Bezalel, that's in verse 2. And then in verse 6, it's Aholiab. I don't know if I'm pronouncing them correct, but that's what you're going to get today. Bezalel and Aholiab. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, saints, these two names are not so well known among us, but they must become better known. At least their function should be better known. They were the ones whom the Lord chose as the master builders. Moses was not the one who built. Moses saw the pattern. God chose these two men as the co-master builders. But actually, not only them. Not only them. If you, I think we stopped at, no, here in verse 6. In verse 6. And the second part says, well, let's read the whole thing, 31:6. And now, I myself have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the heart of all who are wise in heart, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded you. So actually here, it's not just Bezalel and Aholiab. It's also all who are wise in heart. all who are wise in heart. And then, not only so, in verse 36, in chapter 36, we didn't put that up here for you. In chapter 36, it says, everyone whose heart lifted them up came to participate, to bring the materials, to bring the materials. I'd like to say something quickly about these two men, Bezalel and Oholiab. Actually, there's a lot to detail to get into. We don't have the time. I just want to bring out these points. You know, Bezalel was of the tribe of Judah. Judah. That's the kingly tribe. That's the tribe Jesus was born from. That's, you could say, the top tribe. Oholiab, what tribe was he from? Dan. You know, if you're going to rank all 12 tribes, no matter how you rank them nearly, always Dan will be the last one. You look at the story, and sometimes he's off the list. If you look at some of the listings in the, you know, in different portions of the word. I really appreciate that the master builders are both from Judah and Dan. And you know, for the temple, it was the same thing. It was the same thing. There was the master builder of the pillars was someone from the tribe of Dan. Saint, what does this mean? That means, saints, it doesn't matter what your background. You're one of God's people. You can build. We need you. No, God needs you to take up your part in the building. We need to forget our past, and we need to rise up to build. It's time for building. It's time for building. And the qualifications of such men is in chapter 31, verse 3. Those who are filled with the Spirit of God. You know, this was the same qualification of the serving ones in the New Testament church in Acts chapter 6. Filled with, that's the first qualification, filled with the Spirit of God. Yes, there are other qualifications. And here, a lot of things. You need to have not only wisdom, but knowledge and understanding, and be able to be like a craftsman with stone and for settings, and to work in purple and in blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and all these things. So they needed seamstresses. They needed embroiderers. They needed craftsmen. But the first qualification for everyone is filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Saints, we can do this for the church. We can go to the Lord and be filled with the Spirit. For the, not just for supply, but for the church. So that I could have something to go and build my brother. And be built together with my brother. On the other hand, saints, we do need some that are skillful. Skillful in what? In working with gold, silver, and bronze. What is this? Well, again, go to Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul tells all of us, we all should build with gold, silver, and precious stone. What does that mean? That means all of these things are experiences of Christ that we need to have in detail so that we can be proper building material. And then we need to be able to impart to others our experiences so that they could be built in. You know, some saints are struggling with condemnation. With condemnation. They need to be helped to know the power of the blood. And that's what partly it means to work in silver. To work in silver. And then with the threads, to work in scarlet. That is, you go to them and help them know redemption. Help them know the power of the blood. As you're speaking to them, actually, you're sewing a thread of scarlet. It's a small experience, but it's part of the building. And you're exercising your priesthood. And we need to know what it's like to work in stone, the setting of stone. You know, that meant that stones had to be cut. And then they needed to be set in place. You know, for a natural stone to be put into the building or into the garment of the priest had to be cut. Had to be cut. Of course, first it has to be produced to be transformed stone. And then it has to be cut to fit. You know, saints, sometimes we don't fit. We don't fit with one another. We all need to experience more of the transformation. And we need, to experience some cutting. Some cutting so that we can fit. And in our shepherding of one another, we need to learn how to do this. To help some that they have a problem working with others, we need to know how to go to them and help them to be cut so they can be set and fit into the building. These are all the shepherding function in the church. Actually, comes back to the priestly function. You see, actually, all these three, the companions, the priests, and the workers, all mingle together. The point is, we need to be the proper persons. Proper persons. And the Lord is looking for proper persons that He can use for the accomplishing of His enterprise on the earth. Oh, I hope, saints, I've given you a little impression from these chapters. The Lord is looking, seeking for such people. How much He wants His house built. And that's why we're having this kind of spread for the building of the church. And have more districts for more prophesying, for more speaking, for more evangelization. But it's all for the building of the church. And for this, the Lord needs people. The Lord needs people. It says in 2 Corinthians, He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we need to work in the principle of incarnation to exercise the holy and royal priesthood to bring man to God and God to man so that He can have His house on the earth. Amen. May the Lord bring us into this experience. Now we're going to break up, and we hope that through your speaking, you can fill in very much from what you enjoyed, either through the training or through your study this week. And by your speaking, the Lord will complete the message, and there will be more building today. Amen. Amen.